This is tape number 436, April 11, 1980, side 2, May Brussel in Carmel, California. My first published article after starting research in November of 1963 was in the summer of 1972. It was called Why Was Martha Mitchell Kidnapped? And it was the story of the Watergate, the Kennedy assassination, how Nixon really came to power, a whole network of working with Nazis, Defense Department, and so forth, right up to Watergate. And after I published that article, Bruce Roberts contacted me. I was on KGO Radio in San Francisco, and Bruce Roberts contacted me and gave me the entire Gemstone file, what was to be known as the Gemstone file, about 300 or 400 pages, including the telephone calls that Ted Kennedy made the night of Chappaquiddick that later were destroyed by the telephone company. And this Gemstone skeleton traveled all over the world, a woman staying at the house doing a story about me for a Playgirl, Stephanie Caruana, took the essence of the Gemstone file, kept her name off of it, and circulated it to every country around the world, had it multi-copied, and then other people made copies of it. And in the Gemstone file, Bruce Roberts wrote that Carlos Marcello from New Orleans, with his California contacts, had set up the automobile accident in December of 1970 when my daughter Bonnie was killed. And Barbara was almost killed. She was in the same car. There were 3 deaths and 6 injuries at that time. And it was set up by a man, a Mr. Garcia from Fort Ord, who then left Fort Ord immediately in the military, lost all contact of him. He went to Utah. And when I read about the close association of Carlos Marcello to Irv Davidson, knowing the Marcello links to the Kennedy assassination, and then the Davidson links to World War II, War Production Board, and the Pentagon, it's very easy to see how Soldier Fort Ord and how the mechanics of these crimes to hurt people who are doing research take place. There have been several hundred witnesses that have been killed to the assassination that would be important to solving the crime, but the payoffs of using members of organized crime and military to hurt the researchers or the people around the researchers is going on all the time, so the fee must be tremendous. The payoffs and the blackmail must be tremendous. I'm not a person who is hateful or vindictive, and I just simply do my research and do what I have to do. So the minute Marcello's name came out, the very first week of Abscam, I follow everything Carlos Marcello does with great interest because of what Bruce Roberts told me at the time. Winding down the story of Irv Davidson here from the Washington Post, again, it tells about his links to Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, selling equipment to the Sudan. He just registered as a foreign agent for the Sudan, for a lobby expertise group, and for associating with the Southeast Asian nations, for his strong contacts for Clint Murchison, large sums of money, which I couldn't believe the oil man Murchison would need from Davidson, like $4 million, unless it was, again, espionage money that is called, in quotes, a loan. Davidson was very, very close to Jimmy Hoffa. At the time of Hoffa's trial, he peddled tapes supposed to be showing a certain woman named Marie Monday compromising the trial judge. The judge has denied it, but he has this expertise. Again, Tony Laswitz of Watergate and Chappaquiddick fame was expertise at blackmailing and taking pictures of Chappaquiddick men and other, the women rather, with men that he had fixed up to blackmail them after the Chappaquiddick incidents. The photographs, the blackmail goes on and on. This story goes on to tell in the Washington Post how he was so close to Jimmy Hoffa and that he tried to get along with Bobby Kennedy and tell him what a great guy Hoffa was. And, of course, the murder of John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy had to do with investigating organized crime figures as much as it did for John Kennedy wanting Don Todd or not invading Cuba or pulling the troops out of Vietnam, planning to pull back from the war in Southeast Asia. We're not going into the motives of killing Kennedy on this tape either, except that Davidson was part of the Hoffa complex against Robert Kennedy. He worked with people in Haiti, with the Drew Pearson, Jack Anderson office, with Clint Murchison were the top people of the assassination, were the night of the assassination. And now he's been wiretapped for several years or a year. And as I say, in his article, he has threatened to say, this is a direct quote in the Washington Post, listen, if I get knocked out of the box, it's going to hurt this country. This is what he said. I'm involved in very sensitive stuff overseas. I'm talking to people our own people can't talk to. And then he said, I told those FBI people not to play super agent with me. I travel on two passports. I never took a nickel from Uncle Sam for my services. Look at my diary, January the 4th, National Security Council. Do you think I planted that? I'll tell you, I'm dealing day and night with those boys. So he goes from the War Production Board to the National Security Council, the Committee of 40, which is actually five people who decide which heads of states live and die and which will be assassinated. He says that he carries items that he could make available in depth if they pursue him too far. And then he says, sometimes the interest of the United States requires certain things which, because of their shaky nature, cannot be identified with the United States. Now, Earl Warren said after the Warren report was completed that certain documents would be locked up for 75 years for the security of the United States. Lyndon Johnson begged Earl Warren to take the job of Chief Justice covering up the murder of Who Killed John Kennedy, and persuaded him to take on this responsibility for him. They decided what is to be told and not to be told, and the shaky nature of the United States could not be exposed at this time. So the abscam began in New York, in immigration departments, with a man suspected of narcotic dealings, Representative Jenrette, and Mr. Kelly in Florida, and the casinos, as I say, in New Jersey that link out to Las Vegas. But caught in the abscam bri-lab is Irv Davidson, whose name was unknown until this time, who seems to be probably one of the biggest wheelers and dealers of American history. About a month back or so, 2 months, I did a tape on William Taub, and many of you have gotten the book now and are reading it. I'm really pleased. But this guy is bigger than Taub, and he's asked to be one of the most important connecting links. They describe him as that in the newspaper, in the Washington Post, as knowing all the little pieces and corners where people like Clark Clifford and public officials have to be protected. This is what the article is saying. It's very explicit that the big officials have to be protected and be arm's distance from the operations, but this man knows them all, the organized crime sections, the oil people, the government people, the Pentagon, the National Security Council, the FBI. He's still wheeling and dealing, and if they pit him against the wall, he's going to talk, because one more quote, again, I repeat, listen, if I get knocked out of the box, it's going to hurt this country. And what Gordon Chaplin calls this article is the ultimate inside story. It is the ultimate, and that is the assassination of John Kennedy. And then, of course, the multiple murders that took place afterwards to silence people who were part of the assassination or to hurt people who were investigating it. And speaking of silencing, be sure to save all your articles on the most interesting murders. Don't be too suspicious. Save your murders and stories and later see how they link in, because the witnesses to the abscam are just being gunned down right now. As the story in Leaks broke that there were going to be indictments, many, many people from all over the country are being gunned down and killed at the present time, and pretty soon we'll do just a tape on those alone. A listener in New York sent me an article from August 9th, 1979, from New York News about the air flight out of Nicaragua, helped by Representative John Murray, one of the defendants in the Afghanistan story. As I said before in other tapes, he went to West Point with General Somoza from Nicaragua, and a Westchester businessman was fined $134,000 by federal immigration officials for smuggling 142 Nicaraguans into the United States after the fall of Nicaraguan President Somoza. Seven military officers were among those. William Fiorito, 50 years old, an importer, who went to West Point. It's interesting that he and Representative Murphy and Somoza went to West Point together, but instead of staying in the military, he's what you call an importer, reportedly aided Somoza and the other people to leave the country, some of his top officials. The article says there was no smuggling of any kind. Immigration was notified. The Federal Aviation was notified, and they were flown out. What they did was they obtained an airplane in Miami International Airport, flew it July 27th, picked up the immigrants, painted it with large Red Cross emblems on the tail and fuselage so it could slip out of the country, and now they're in this country, and Immigration Service is reclassifying them as tourists. And so that the article about Davidson said that he assisted in the flight out of people from Nicaragua, and Davidson is linked to the Marcello Brylab Southern connection, but also Representative Murphy of New York assisted in that same airlift, in the Nicaraguan airlift out of there, or one of them similar type of operation, and works with West Point and works with immigration in the northern cities of the United States, not far from Washington. Now, the West Point man that assisted in this airlift with the Nicaraguans that works with the Immigration Department, his name is Fiorito, F-I-O-R-I-T-O. I'll have it printed out for you on the sheets. Incidentally, those of you that hear these tapes on radio programs, if you send a self-addressed stamped envelope with the name of the tape, the date, and 25 cents, I will send you a sheet of references, because you hear it on the air and some of you don't know that there are sheets available. And send them to your station, to the people that put these programs on the air. Send them there and they'll duplicate the sheets for you. And you can have the bibliography that goes with it. But this Westchester businessman put up the money for the Nicaraguans to leave, working with immigration. Now, that's interesting because last week I talked at length about the murder in Westchester of Dr. Tonauer and Mrs. Jean Harris, who I made Philadelphia connections, and I want to do more about Tonauer's murder because they're going to pull the evidence against her, like the Dan White trial when Dan White killed Mayor George Moscone in San Francisco, and remember the supervisors, Harvey Milk. The basis of the trial that I did at length on tapes was that Dan White was too good to live in a city of so much corruption. And the defense of Gene Harris already is that he slept with every woman. And they're looking into faults of Dr. Tonauer as an excuse. Did he provoke her to kill him? But this was up in Westchester where he had his $500,000 home and his international travels, and with Miss Jean Harris and his other so-called assistant that has been described as a mystery woman, and we'll do some more about her. But Westchester County is where this gentleman from West Point was arranging for the flight out of Nicaragua. Westchester is where Dr. Tonauer lived with his mysterious medical clinic. It's also headquarters of the Mooney operation, Reverend Moon, which is linked to the money of Adolf Hitler and mind control and drug programs and the manufacture of weapons and arms in South Korea. There was an article this week, deposition order on the Moon, and this is from the New York Times. It said the Reverend Moon must give a deposition in a suit to regain tax-exempt status for $10 million of property owned by his church alone in Westchester County. Moon owns maybe $100 million or $200 million in property around the United States, and is brainwashing some of our best youth and putting them into schools like Yale and seminaries, and he has $10 million worth of property in Westchester County alone. Mr. William Fiorito, working with Representative John Murphy, both graduates of West Point and immigration, working in the North, and then the Moonies, who've been very involved with immigration favors and tax favors and large holdings in Westchester County. It would also be interesting if any of the drugs from Dr. Tonauer had any association to Reverend Moon, where he got his money and where he traveled, because of the proximity of the Mooney's large holdings in the same area as Dr. Tonauer and his Jean Harris. There's another article in the paper this last week about a bakery sale. They're hauling rumors that the Moon Church in New Jersey, again, remember Philadelphia, New Jersey, New York is the heart, and Washington, the heart of the Evskim matter, and this article says that in Morris Plains, New Jersey, the clergy in the area have been asked by the owners of a bakery, it's called Entenmann's, in New York City, to stop the rumor that Reverend Moon bought this bakery. It must be a large bakery in New York and New Jersey. And it's interesting, the owner of the bakery is Warner Lambert and Company. Now, that's a large chemical concern that was very instrumental in putting Richard Nixon into office, one of the big offices behind Richard Nixon, the drug company, the Warner Lambert Company. It's interesting, when Dan White killed George Moscone and Harvey Milk, his defense was that he ate too many Twinkie cupcakes and lost his mind. Twinkie, of course, being owned by ITT Bakery, very much part of the Nazi connections to organized crime, to the killing of Salvador Allende, to making airplanes for Adolf Hitler. The ITT story, there's many good books on ITT, and that conglomerate went on and bought bakeries. So it's very interesting that Warner Lambert, the drug company, owns Entenmann's. Maybe we should be more careful about I know we should be careful about the foods we eat, but maybe we should be careful about some of the drug companies and their connections, because Warner Lambert, as I say, the strong links to Richard Nixon, and of course it was the Moonies that were very instrumental in defending Richard Nixon at the height of Watergate, and were very much part of the Nixon-Nazi connections, the Moons, the South Korea, the Korean payoffs of the congressmen, and fixing them up with women to blackmail them to get votes favorable to whatever they wanted. It's pretty treacherous thinking that ITT and innocent cupcakes that kids have in their school lunches and fast foods are linked together, or Warner Lambert, the drug company, and the political links to these politicians having these bakeries, owning bakeries, and then selling to the Moonies. The potential is tremendous for lot of damage, future damage. It makes it more and more imperative to watch what you eat and cook what you eat, and don't get prepared food ahead and try to stay as simply with vegetables and things you can grow, or wheats and grains, and make your own things and don't get prepackaged or frozen. That is another whole subject in itself, the health conspiracy, but I think you get the point when Warner Lambert owns in New Jersey Entenmann's, and the possibility that they sell to Reverend Moon, and the bakeries even innocently being blamed as a cause for crime or murder at a murder trial, when a mayor and a member of the supervisors are killed, and the defense is that food that they ate, and you think of the food company that manufactured it, it makes you think twice that maybe the defense for Dan White wasn't as silly as it seemed at the time. Maybe they know something we don't know and ought to know. Last week I put on the tape some information or articles which I had and couldn't get my hands on about who owns Madison Square Gardens and the links to organized crime and the Nixon White House team, the team of the Central Intelligence Agency. And I got back some fascinating articles that I want to share with you on Gulf and Western. Of course, that was the organization that was in control of Madison Square Garden. And I got a wonderful diagram that was sent from a listener in New York City, from the New York Times, December 1977, on Gulf and Western Industry owning Madison Square Gardens. Now, Jean Harris worked there from 1975 to 77. She worked there a year and a half before she went on to the school. But Gulf and Western was a conduit of the secret money of money washing at the time of Watergate into the committee to reelect the president. And the breakdown of Madison Square Garden ownership also goes into New York City and Chicago, the racing tracks and the racing connections that later go in, they link into organized crime and other places too. But there's a large diagram of the racing connections to Gulf and Western Industry. And also in the book, The Man Who Kept the Secrets by Richard Helms, it's called Richard Helms and the CIA by Thomas Powers. On page 37, they're telling how the CIA first got formed and the organizations that set it up, and they tell about the most important part, the covert operators that by 1948 were put into place. And they give examples of the covert operators like Frank Wisner, Desmond Fitzgerald, Richard Bussell, Mike Burke, Tracy Barnes, and Kim Roosevelt. Kim is Kermit Roosevelt, who helped overthrow Iran and get Mossadegh out and put the Shah of Iran into power. But one of the key men in this operation, the name Mike Burke, is mentioned in this book. And then there's a little footnote about Mike Burke, and it later goes on to tell some of his operations. He worked in the OSS, And then he worked along in the Adriatic and in with army colonels and paramilitary operations. And then there's another footnote about Mike Burke with a little asterisk on page 315 of the book, and it says Burke was later president of New York Yankees and Madison Square Garden Sports Arena. So Mike Burke, who was chief of covert operations one of the heads of covert operations for Eastern Division of the Central Intelligence Agency, came home to the United States and was at Madison Square Garden, and this Gene Harris had killed Dr. Tannauer, who had that expensive drug clinic in New York, and God knows what it was, we never hear much about it, was president of Madison Square Garden. And the clue to Jean Harris and her espionage activities lies in, as I said last week, her Philadelphia connections, her Detroit connections, and her trip to the Soviet Union in 1959. But a man like Burke would be part of the Eastern Division intelligence operations and the Kennedy assassinations, as I said last week. Oswald followed her to Europe, the Soviet Union, 1 year later, and a woman like Jean Harris could be planting the seeds, getting ready for the trip of Lee Harvey Oswald. But she came back and then did work at Madison Square Garden for a year and a half, and Burke at one time was president of Madison Square Garden, and Gulf and Western owned Madison Square Garden and the activities there. These articles on Gulf and Western and Madison Square Garden describe a man, a Mr. Werblin, who is active. He was the top man of all sports season, written up in 1977 in the New York Times, and also the agent for the Johnny Carson talk show, the multi-million-dollar talk show. You know, Carson won't allow any talk of assassinations and conspiracies. He keeps his act strictly on the, what you call the light, fun type of thing. But Carson and a lot of the top public figures are linked to the very people that arrange the sports shows and the boxing matches, the sports arenas, and so forth, at New Jersey, New York, football games and sport activities, Yankees and so forth. So that the sports arena, the place where this activity is centered for exchanging the recreations that divert us from what's really going on in the world. I feel very strongly that the big sport activities are tremendous diversionaries to really sitting down and talking about other events that families could do at holidays or any other time in the evening. That the families are programmed for the baseball season and then the football season and the basketball season, and keep a running score of all the various sports figures and keep their minds off following the politicians. Organized crime, athletics, and collusion of silence all run hand in hand through this entire saga of who's covering up and who's doing the killing. And the sports arenas are a very important part of this activity. And I think that Gene Harris' employment for Madison Square Garden for janitorial services at $32,000 a year, then going to a very, very exclusive girls' school in McLean, Virginia, after her trip to New York, and being with Dr. Tannauer for 14 years, making trips with him and safaris. He's described as taking safaris, interest in safaris, and it doesn't say what countries or when. And Senator Williams from New Jersey has links to the Great Britain, the London connections, of and the organized crime gambling casinos. And that group have large safari-type recreations like Marine World that go all over Africa and Europe collecting animals, in quotes. There's a Marine World in California that just was recently named last week in connection to a large organized crime trial out here. And Senator Williams' wife is on the board of the firm that works with Great Britain and bringing the British casinos to this country. Angela Bruno from Philadelphia, who was the mafia boss who was murdered several weeks ago, was the London connection of organized crime to the New Jersey connections and the Philadelphia connections. And he was the person that went constantly over to England to get to be a part of the British gaming, gambling casinos that were finally going to move to the United States and probably will get away with it and set up their casino, this big lush casino in New Jersey, if the Abscam story doesn't interfere with it. The London, New Jersey, Philadelphia connections are stronger because of these various characters and their international contacts. The ABSCAM is so broad and vast, but the area that I'm particularly interested in is right now the people that are being killed off who have information about what's taking place or what took place in the past. I'll do more about Gulf and Western in Madison Square Garden on another day. Patrick Collins died last week. He's an expert on crime, described in Newsday as an FBI authority on organized crime. He died of what you call an apparent heart attack. This article came from a listener in New York who sent this to me from Newsday. That is a disease that is very common these days, the apparent heart attack. Collins described as a lawyer who worked as a field investigator and agent from the FBI from 1947 until last year. He began his career, he was in the Marines and lived in Cleveland, then became the leading authority on organized crime in the United States, assigned to New Orleans, and was responsible for the conviction of local crime boss Carlos Marcello. He served in Salt Lake City, Las Vegas, and New York Bureau. He dropped dead after ABSCAM was into investigation. 1 year he retired from the FBI, but he dropped dead this last week. The ABSCAM story broke February the 2nd, 1980. The murder of 33 informers in the New Mexico jail took place February 2nd, 1980. That has been hushed up, not investigated, and involved, as I've said on other tapes, agents from California who've worked with the CIA continuously and with organized crime and these large conspiracies of assassination. Angelo Bruno, the big boss from Philadelphia and New Jersey with the London connections, was gunned down February 23, 1980. Dr. Tannauer was murdered March the 10th, 1980, and I know that he had big connections in Westchester internationally with these people that will come out in time. March 21st, 1980, Anthony Manfredonio was shot 4 times. He wasn't killed. He was an informant to the police on organized crime on the Carmen Tramonte family, the Thomas Lucchesi family, and so forth. He was informing on people who masterminded the French Connection and the police taking the heroin in New York. Doris Keats was murdered. She's the wife of a member of New Jersey organized crime. She was gunned down March 24th. Keats was arrested and was held for trying. He's the one who was trying to loot Los Angeles Treasury of millions of dollars, swindling them of several million dollars, and making $150,000 to $200,000 each day. His wife was murdered, and he's still alive. David Emmerich, 32 years old, and Bonnie Pellicer were killed in Camden, New Jersey, in their home, flesh and skin and blood all over the house. They were on their way to Atlanta, Georgia, the home of the home base of President Jimmy Carter. I would love to do 10-hour tapes on Carter and the drug connections. There were warrants out for him in St. Augustine, Florida. Their attorney, Mr. Morris, lives in Philadelphia, and those two were found dead in their home. This was March the 10th, just a few weeks ago. Mob Lieutenant Philip Testa from Philadelphia was supposed to take over the network that Angelo Bruno left, and his son, the son of Philip Testa, was shot last week. He was wounded in a fight, but he wasn't killed. It was in a parking lot, and he was injured in a gunfire. Of course, the newspaper goes on and says it has nothing to do with the killing of Angelo Bruno, but the son of the man who was to take over next was almost killed in the parking lot. As ABSCAM unfolds, I will keep track of all the arrests and all the murders, and we'll get back to them later and start making lists of the time and date and place and who and what information they had at the time they were murdered. The time is running out now. I spent a lot of time on Irv Davidson because I've done 16 years' work on the Kennedy assassination, and I feel that this is one of the most important breaks that this man is even in the hot seat or investigated by the FBI. As I said before, the links are terribly important. We'll get back to some major stories later that I put aside because I did want to go into depth on the Davidson story, but we'll get back to the others next week. In the meantime, you take care. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California, and I'll be back with you next week. I hope.